Hello, hello. How's everyone doing tonight? Good. That was lame, just as last time. How's everyone doing tonight? Good, good. Morgan, I just realized I forgot my Bible. Will you go get it off my desk? Yeah. I was doing good as I was writing this sermon, which is about a couple weeks ago or last week. And that's because the Cubs were doing good, and the Cardinals were not doing good. And now that's changed a little bit, and they're about tied. So my moods kind of went down just a little bit, but we're lucky because the Cubs won today. So it's just enough to get me through this sermon. But I'm super pumped to be here with you guys tonight, and just to see how God works in this room. So I'm just going to start us off in prayer. Thank you. And then we'll just go ahead and jump into the text. All right. Father, we just thank you for right now. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for just bringing each and every one of us here today. We thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. We thank you for being unchanging, for being loving, for being forgiving, Father. We invite you in this room. We invite you in this message, Father. We ask that you just help us to cast all our anxieties on you, to cast all of our stress on you, and to cast all of our distractions on you, and help us just focus. Help us be present, and help us just listen to what it is that you have to say to us. Help our hearts not be hardened and our eyes not be blind, Father. We love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. So right now, we are in the middle of a series called Potential. How many of you guys have liked it so far? Oh, that's not good. Well, the goal of this series is kind of to unfold the truth of relationships. See, relationships change the way that we view God, the way we view ourselves, and the way we view others. Whether it's a good change or whether it's a bad change, there's no doubt that there is a change. So tonight we're going to be in Ephesians. You'll notice that it's on the merch. But we're not going to be in Ephesians 1:4. We're going to be in Ephesians 5:8-17. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, I'm giving you permission to open your phone as long as it's on the Bible app. If it's on anything else, tribe leaders have permission to take your phone away. So as you're heading there to Ephesians 5, I'm just going to give you a little story. How many of you guys were at the Chicago trip? Yeah? Well, I'll be the first to tell you it was amazing, and it was life-changing, and I'm sure the other people can second that. But there was this instance on one of the days that we were there, whenever we got on a subway, and there was this individual that was on the subway, and he was smoking on the subway, and I just remember as soon as I walked in, I could smell it, and I tried to avoid him. But, the kids were around him, so I stood next to him just to make sure that it was me and not one of the kids. But I remember in my head, I had written him off before I even gave him a chance, before I even talked to him. I remember feeling a nudge in my head to go sit down next to him, but I figured he was too far gone to even talk to. I remember that it was just a waste of time, waste of words, a waste of a breath. I mean, he seemed so far gone that anything that I had to say was just it wasn't gonna make a difference. He's just gonna do the same thing over and over again. And so I left the subway that day just not talking to him. For you, it could be someone you don't know, or it could be someone across the room tonight. But who have you counted out in your life? Who have you said they're too far gone, that you don't want to talk to them anymore? Who has hurt you that you feel like there's not a chance? And why? I want you to think about that. And hopefully by the end of this sermon, the answer can come a little bit more clear for you. Just sit on that. Sit on that tonight. So before we jump in to Ephesians, I want to give some context, because you guys know context is key, and it helps you better understand what it is that you're reading or what your shirt actually means. So Ephesians is written by Paul in AD 60 to AD 61. He's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's actually writing from prison, which I thought is kind of cool. He wrote this about 5 to 7 years after his third mission trip, which in that third mission trip, he actually went to Ephesus. And then if we look a couple verses back, we see that the church at Ephesus they have a problem with like magic and witchcraft, and it's kind of correlating into their church. And this magic isn't the kind of like Harry Potter magic that you that you might be thinking of, but it's like some witchcraft and whatever, yeah. But and we also see this phrase, walk as children of light. That's a common phrase that keeps getting brought up. And so we'll just go ahead and jump into the first three verses in which we actually see that phrase brought up. It says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And so you might notice here in these three verses, we have two call to actions. One being in verse 10, saying, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. See, this word discern right here, it means to apply God's word to our world's situations. I think back to a time in high school. I was a Christian at the time, and I got invited to a party. It was one of my buddies. It was a New Year's Eve party, but it was also his birthday. And so we were getting kind of close at the time. And Jacob, no, it's not you. But we were getting pretty close to the time, and I felt like I should go, but I knew that the party was going to entail some unholy things, and there was going to be some people that aren't so good for me to be around. And so I didn't know. I struggled with that question. Should I go? Should I not go? Is it really so bad? What's going to happen if I really go? And so I attacked that question with my selfish desires. I didn't go to the Bible for that question to know the answer to. You see, so I went to that party, and lo and behold, I did unholy things that I shouldn't have done. And if I just would have listened to the Bible, if I just would have took my question to the Bible, I wouldn't even have been there. I would have known what was going on was a sin. I would have known what was going on is something that I shouldn't be there a part of. But I took my own selfish desires to that question, and I went. And I did the unholy things, and I didn't even know that it was a sin. Because I answered that question without the lens of the gospel. So that's what Paul's telling us here whenever he says discern. He's saying that we have to realize, we have to view our world situations through the lens of the Bible, through the lens of the gospel. And the other call to action that we see is in verse 9. It's that phrase that I said keeps getting brought up. He says, walk as children of light. What does that mean? What does it mean to walk as children of light? And how do we do it? So, I'm going to go on to the next few verses, 11 through 14. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. I just want to stop right there. Going back to my two stories, the guy on the subway that I didn't talk to. He was doing unfruitful works, and I didn't participate in it. But going back to the story with my friends during the party, they were doing unfruitful work, and I did partake in it. That just shows the power of discernment, how important it really is, how we approach every decision, every action, every question. This has to be our foundation that we approach everything through. And then secondly, something that I didn't do to both of them, I didn't expose them. I didn't expose them. You see, we often have this negative connotation whenever it comes to this word expose. However, in the Greek word, whenever we look at it, it really just means to convince through argument or convince through discussion. See, exposing, this isn't judging someone. It literally means to discuss with them in a loving way how they are sinning and then inviting them into repentance. See, instead of just leaving that subway that day, what if I just would have sat down next to the guy? What if I just would have said, "Hi, my name's Hayden. How are you doing today?" You see, what if I just would have asked him a simple question? Maybe that would have led to me telling my story. Maybe that would have led to him telling me his story. Maybe that would have led to me exposing him into the light and sharing the gospel. That's the importance of exposing someone. Instead, I left the subway, and now I just pray that someone else gives him the chance that I didn't give him. That's what it means to expose someone. We expose them because we care about them. We expose them because we love them. And why do we do that? Because Jesus cares about them. Because Jesus loves them. Because he forgave us. And so he can forgive them. And they are not too broken. They are not too far gone. All right. So let's go into the next chunk of this verse, 12 through 14. It says, "For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible to light, therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" See, Paul's going on here to expose us in our gossip. See, I can't count the number of times that I've gossiped about my family, my friends, about someone that I didn't even know on the subway. See, to paint a better picture here of what Paul's trying to say, I want you to walk this imagery with me. Imagine that you are going to the gym for the first time. All right? Yeah. And so you're going with your friends or your friend, and you guys are hitting legs. And remember, it's your first time, so you haven't done anything. And you do squat for the very first time, right? So your friend goes ahead of you. He does it before you so he can show you how to do it, show you what the form looks like, and walk you along that. But whenever it's your turn to do it, okay. Whenever it's your turn to do it, you go to squat, and you think you're doing it right. You think you got the form down, and it feels okay. But once you get done, your back starts to hurt a little bit, right? But you think it's just like, it's your first time working out. Obviously, it's going to hurt. It's soreness. You haven't done it ever, so you don't know how it's supposed to feel. And so you continue to do it, and your friend's not saying a word to you. Your friend doesn't correct you at all. And so fast forward about a month, you've hit legs a couple times now, and your back is hurting a lot, right? You've hit squat every single time you've hit legs, and so your back is in a lot of pain. And then And then someone at school comes up to you and they say, dude, your squat form sucks. Right? How would they know that your form sucks if your friend wouldn't have told them? So your friend went behind your back and talked crap about your form without even telling you that it was bad. See, not only is your back in a lot of pain, but you're doing something wrong that you didn't even know was wrong. If only your friend would have corrected you in your form, you would have been fine. Your back wouldn't have hurt. You would have been doing it right. And so this is what Paul is telling us. He's saying instead of gossiping about the person on the train, right, sit down with them and expose them. Instead of gossiping about that friend that keeps talking crap about people, keeps bringing people down, expose them into the light. Explain to them what they're doing is wrong, and then invite them to something greater. Invite them into the light. So then we go on, we see this quote from Isaiah 61. It says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This right here is just showing the power of exposing someone into the light. Because in doing so, God can literally save them from death. Let that sit for a second. God can literally save them from death. What I don't want you to hear, though, is that it's your responsibility. Because it's not your responsibility to save them. In fact, it's actually impossible for you to save them. You don't have the power to do that. That's God's power and His only. But in those moments, God will use us as ambassadors. God will use us as instruments to expose them out of the darkness into the light. And it's our responsibility to take them up on that. It's our responsibility to expose them, not our responsibility to save them. All right, so let's wrap up with verses 15 and 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil, and therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Guys, our time here on earth is limited. They're evil. Bless you. Like I was saying, our time on here is limited. So we have to be wise in what we do. Looking at every situation and every problem through the lens of the gospel. This is our foundation, right? This means actively choosing not to gossip whenever it's really easy to. And trust me, I know it's easy to. This means exposing people out of darkness into light. This means studying the Bible and understanding what is right from wrong, using it to discern every situation, every problem. This means being humble enough to accept that exposure, to accept people calling you into the light. That is what it means to be children of light, guys. That's what it means. And maybe for some of you tonight, you're struggling with that. You don't know what it means to be children of light. I want you to hear me when I say this, that you're not alone. I've been there. Everyone in this room's been there. You are not alone. And God's not mad at you. God's not disappointed with you. He's not upset with you. In fact, He loves you. He cares about you, and He's right there with you along this journey. He's holding out his hand, just waiting for you to take it. He's there with open arms, waiting for you to run to him. He's bigger than those doubts. He's bigger than those questions. If that's you tonight, please don't leave here without talking to someone. I'm available to you. Morgan's available to you. Any tribe leader in here is available to you, and they want to talk to you. They want to walk this journey with you because they love you, because we're family. Okay? Because the days are evil. The days are limited, and there's no time like today. Now for the rest of us, I know you've heard me say this time after time, but don't leave here the same way that you walked through those doors today. Let the Holy Spirit work inside you. Let him change you. Okay? Allow him in there. Invite him in there. He's ready for it. Take what you learned tonight and apply it everywhere. In your schools, at your home, at Walmart, on a subway. Use it. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. And be children of light. Let me pray for us. Father, we just we thank you for this. We just ask that you help us be children of light, that you help us not gossip, that you help us have discernment. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us so much that you're not going to leave us in the brokenness. We love you so much, and we thank you that you died on that cross for us. We thank you that you allow other people to expose us. And Father, we invite you into this worship right now. We invite you into the rest of the night. Just may it be your will and not ours. We love you, Father. We thank you. It's in your holy, precious name that we pray. Amen.